Amen. You may be seated. A couple of weeks ago, at Missions Conference, we learned from the life of Adoniram Judson and his faithfulness in the face of many difficulties and challenges. Indeed, he was a huge impact on my life, really a ministry hero, a history saint that really impacted my life and my worldview on missions and on God. And where I first learned the life of Adoniram Judson was actually sitting around the breakfast table as my dad read missionary biographies to me and my sister. And those biographies, those moments around the breakfast table were intentional moments that had a profound impact on my life. I'm thankful this morning and excited to be able to introduce my dad, Vernon Smith, my mom, Mary Smith. She's not in this service, but they have served on the mission field for 28 years in Tanzania, East Africa. And have just been an incredible impact and legacy on my life and so many others. They're both first-generation Christians and really are testimonies of what God can do with a transformed life in faithfulness, in ministry, and giving their all to Christ. I'm privileged as well to say that he's not only my dad, whom I look up to, and my mentor that has impacted and refined my life, but he's also one of my best friends in ministry, truly. We've climbed Mount Kilimanjaro together, gone on many motorcycle safaris together, done ministry together, and now it's the privilege to be able to swap pulpits now and then with my dad. So I hope, pray you'll be blessed this morning as he comes and proclaims the word of God. Would you welcome him as he comes today?
My heart is full this morning. What a wonderful worship time we've had. As we were singing, "Bless the Lord, O my soul," I thought to myself that the word of God has already been proclaimed this morning in song, in music. So thank you, worship team, singers, and instrumentalists. What a blessing to be here at Heritage Baptist Church. Thank you, Pastor Nathan, for inviting me to speak. Folks, I know that he felt confident to invite me not only because we are father and son, but because we are brothers in ministry. And I want you to know that's a cool thing for me to be able to say that my son is a brother in ministry. But also, I know that he felt comfortable to invite me because we share the same hairstyle. Amen? Yes. We get a lot of mileage out of that, don't we? I tell you. But thank you, Heritage Baptist Church, for your part in World Missions, where you're part of helping us in Tanzania. It is a joy for us to know that our son is here. And you know what? I wanted to say this too. My son, one of the things that blesses me is the fact that he's not just a man of God when he stands behind the pulpit to preach. He is a man of God at home and in the community. Jessica, his dear wife, what a lovely woman of God. And our grandchildren, oh my, don't get me started on that. I tell you, we just love being here. It's been a privilege to be a part of this ministry for these few weeks and also to sit into the ministry of our son. Well, many of you know Josh and Adair Bolt. You sent them out. They are interning with us in Tanzania. They've been with us now for 10 months, doing a very good job. We're proud to have them working with us in the school, also in the church office with the youth. Both of them have been tenacious in learning Swahili, making friendships in our locale. You, as Heritage Baptist Church, could be proud of them for what they have done there in our ministry. Also, Heritage sent a ministry team this past April, and they ministered to over 60 missionaries and their children in our annual missionary fellowship meeting. And our missionary counterparts, even up till now, are talking about what a blessing it was to have Pastor Mike Morricon and his wife Sue, also Bill and Karen Salisbury, Pastor Dale Laird, Pastor Emeritus Dr. Jerry Kroll. Wonderful team. They did a super job ministering to us, and then afterwards, Dr. Kroll and I were able to take a trip up country to have a pastor's meeting among the Tanzanian men, and there Pastor Cole talked for about 3 days as we were able to preach and to teach those men. Now, back to the missionary meeting. I think the team got a good view of the spirituality of our missions group when Pastor Dell was leading singing and he asked for requests from the floor, and someone yelled out, "Take me out to the ball game." And without missing a beat, Pastor Dell went right into that good old song. And we sang it to the top of our lungs. "I don't care if I ever get back." And it was so cool to sing and to be there together with them. Well, lastly, many of you know Brianna Barnwell, born and bred right here at Heritage. She spent all of this past summer as an intern at our Christian school and sometime in the medical clinic as well. But I want to just tell you, best single young lady intern we've ever had. So you can be proud of what Heritage Baptist Church is doing in missions around the world, also in Tanzania for us. So a big thank you, asante sana, we say in Swahili, to all of you for your part in missions. Now, admittedly, I'm a little nervous speaking this morning. Statistically, I've spoken for more than 25 years in the language of Swahili and only about 5 years in English. So if I stumble over a word or two here and there, please forgive me for that. In fact, before we get going in English, let me greet you. Some of you know this, you've heard me speak before, but whenever we leave Tanzania, our people always tell us, please greet everybody in America. And so let me greet you at least. It would sound like this. Kwaniabi ya kanisa la kibatisa la Biblia la Oloriente na wasalamia sana katika jina la Yesu Kristo mwokozi wetu, hamjambo. And what that means is, on behalf of the Bible Baptist Church of Olorien, we greet all of you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. What's happening? It's kind of the end part, yeah. Now, I understand that you folks here at Heritage have just come through a fantastic missions conference a few weeks ago. Therefore, Mary and I would like to add a little to that. Our prayer for you today is that you will continue to be used individually and corporately for the cause of missions around the world. And for me, what a wonderful time to be here in the USA. You know, when we arrived 8 weeks ago, we hit the road going to report to churches, drove a mere 4,000 miles in 4 weeks. Some of our missionary counterparts understand what that's like. It was great. Well, why was it great for us? Well, for one reason, driving in America is pure joy. Great roads. Everybody's so cordial. 4 lanes of traffic, 75 miles an hour. Good stuff. But also because it's fall. You know, we've seen the weather has changed already. Fall festivals have been everywhere. Pumpkins for sale at every grocery store, corner store, drug store, Walmart, and even at the mall. My wife loves this time of year more than most. And of course, Thanksgiving time was great for us. Being together with family, Nathan and Jessica and the kids, Kevin and Bonnie. Then after that, Black Friday. How many of you were good stewards like Pastor Nathan said last week, right? Yeah, getting out among all the Christmas sales, the hustle and bustle of the crowd, cool weather, winter clothing, Cracker Barrel. Good stuff. You know, historically, these fall festivals and Thanksgiving holidays are celebrations of the harvest. And my point is that traditionally, harvest time is a marvelous period of celebration. And historically, as well as psychologically, for those who are involved in harvest, the harvest festival, the party, the Thanksgiving, all of these were catalysts for getting ready to be busy for the next season of labor. So even though the harvest is in for this year, there's always next year to think about. Now, personally, I love harvest festival time. I want you to know that during this time, I've done my best to try to work out from time to time, to eat salad as much as possible, even drink herbal tea, so that when festivals come, when missions conferences are there, when fellowship presents itself, and when the turkey is on the table, like a few days ago, then we just get to pig out, right? You know, enjoy the good food. By the way, when we're on the field in Tanzania, I truly don't miss any part of American foods here in the USA. I'm very satisfied there. However, when I get to American soil, I must admit that I enjoy food in this country. Can you say chicken fajita? I love the fruit of this land. So the fall, harvest time, harvest festivals, missions, beautiful. I'd like to show you a story this morning, a story from Scripture. Probably not new to you, but a story that really goes along with this thought of the harvest and the possibilities of the harvest and the fruit of the land. Open your Bibles, if you would, to Numbers chapter 13. Numbers chapter 13. We're going to read a story there and see what God has for us this morning. Numbers chapter 13, beginning in verse 1 and following. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the people of Israel. From each tribe of their fathers you shall send a man, everyone a chief among them. So Moses sent them from the wilderness of Paran, according to the command of the Lord, all of them men who were heads of the people of Israel. And these were their names. Then it goes on, verse 4 through 16, listing those names and tribes from which they came of the men that were going to do this job for Moses. But look at verse 17. You can go back and read those names at a later time. In verse 17, it says, Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan and said to them, go up into the Negev and go up into the hill country and see what the land is and whether the people who dwell in it are strong or weak, whether they are few or many, and whether the land that they dwell in is good or bad, and whether the cities that they dwell in are camps or strongholds, and whether the land is rich or poor, and whether there are trees in it or not. Be of good courage and bring some of the fruit of the land. Now the time was the season of the first ripe grapes. So in this section, what we're seeing is that 12 spies were sent out. Historically, the children of Israel had just come through an amazing time of deliverance. It was now time to check out the promised land to see and get a report of what they were going to inherit. How many of you remember that good old Sunday school song, right? Here's my special for today. 12 went down to spy on Canaan, 10 were bad and 2 were good. What did they see when they got to Canaan? 10 were bad and 2 were good. Can you do that? Yeah. Listen, what did they see when they got to Canaan? That's our first point this morning. They saw that the fruit of the land is wonderful. The fruit of the land is wonderful. Look at verse 23, chapter 13, verse 23. They said there, and they came to the valley of Eshcol and cut down from there a branch with a single cluster of grapes, and they carried it on a pole between two of them. They also brought some pomegranates and figs. That place was called the valley of Eshcol because of the cluster that the people of Israel cut down from there. At the end of the 40 days, they returned from spying out the land, and they came to Moses and Aaron and to all the congregation of the people of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. They brought back word to them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him, we came to the land to which you sent us. It flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. Listen, friends, luscious grapes, amazing pomegranates, figs, honey. All of these fruits of the land are a picture of contentment, of being filled, being fulfilled. Joshua and Caleb said, look here, this is the fruit of the land. You see, if we'll just go in and do what God says to do, we'll be blessed. We'll inherit the land. We'll be contented, filled, fulfilled with fruit like this. Okay, guys, I'd like to ask for your help this morning. I've already told you that I'm feeling a bit nervous about speaking. You've already seen a stumble or two with word pronunciation. And so what I'd like to ask is that you would help me this morning. I need to substitute an amen for something else, and that is this. I'm going to allude to the fact that the fruit of the land, this is it, and it is, and when I do that, and it is, I want you to respond with, good. This is the fruit of the land, and it is
good.
Now, pretend you're at the ball game, like I just sang a minute ago. Get some air in your lungs there and shout it out, okay? This is the fruit of the land, and it is
good.
Outstanding. Let's keep that up for the rest of this message. You know, the historical record of the Bible was given us for our good, for our use, for being challenged. We can draw principles of life from records like these. And so this morning, please allow me to compare your Heritage Baptist Church missionaries today with Joshua and Caleb. They are men who were sent out. They brought back the fruit of the land. It was good. And it is true, was then, it is now, I believe this to be true, that the missions directive that we have in the New Testament now directly parallels this concept. You see, as missionaries, it is our pleasure to tell you about the spiritual fruit of the land, the mission fields of the world, and to say to you, church, here's the fruit, and it is
good.
In the years that churches have supported us And Christians have partnered with us in prayer for Tanzania. That partnership has yielded the fruit of 17 churches established under our tutelage to date. And I just got word yesterday that one of our young men preachers, who's been with us for a long time, one of the young Timothys that he's been training, who's in our Bible Institute program, 2 weeks ago just opened another church. Praise God. 18. We're grateful for that. Now think about this. During our years there in Tanzania, hundreds of people have been saved and baptized. This February, we intend to dedicate a church in the village of Lukobe. In July, the Heritage Baptist teens are coming to build a church building. We intend to dedicate another village church building in Maloa. All of this done, why? Because God is on the throne, and He is the one that enables us. In fact, when we see people saved and baptized, all we have to do is sit back and say, thank you, Lord. Praise Him. This is the fruit of the land, and it is. We also are grateful that in the last 10 weeks while we've been on our safari from the U.S. to here, from Africa here to here in the U.S., that 13 people have been baptized in these past 10 weeks since I've been gone. That was the report I intended to give you this morning. However, as I woke up this morning, I received a report that two more young people were baptized in the city church where I currently pastor now. My associate pastor, Abraham Stanislaus, is the one who did the baptizing. By the way, pray for Abraham and pray for me. We are now 2 years in on a 5-year transition plan. Sound familiar? Yeah, I stole that from here. Hey, a preacher's only as good as his resources, right? There's a wonderful Bible college program that God has given us. Check out Dr. and Mrs. Biemba on the screen representing our Bible college as they graduated this past August, just a few months ago. Dr. Biemba is an example of a professional man who wants to know the Word of God, teach the Word of God, model the Word of God in his life. And I want to tell you, my wife Mary, also working at the clinic, she works with the children's ministries, ladies' ministries, but she also puts in 5 days a week at the medical clinic. She enjoys very much all the scientific medical intrigue of the medical 3 G's, which are goo, gore, and gross. And I've got pictures to prove that, by the way. I'm glad I'm the preacher and that he's the doctor. But I want to say that I have a wonderful relationship with him, with our clinic. We're grateful for the testimony that the clinic has in our community. When we first opened, there was a Muslim entourage of people who came to us and asked, will we be welcome in your clinic? And we said, yes, of course. And even up till this day, a large percentage of the people that come to the clinic are indeed of the Muslim faith. In the local ministry of Arusha, we have discipleship programs, women's ministries, children's ministries, youth programs, adult classes, marriage seminars, the medical clinic that I've mentioned. This is the fruit of the land, and it is.
Good.
My friends, it is.
Good.
The Lord has blessed us as well to start a Christian primary school where the Word of God is taught freely to our 250 students every day in the course of their normal education. It's an English medium school, so we always have opportunity to talk about English and American. Kind of funny that English and American can be different at times, right? But it can be. And as they speak English, many times they have difficulties with R's. And so when they greet me, they were saying, hello, Pastor Smith. Pastor Smith. And so one day in chapel, I had the opportunity to help correct them and to let them know that pasta is spaghetti. Don't call me Spaghetti Smith. And of course, they laughed. Told them about that R. We say pastor, and that R is kind of at the front of our mouth. They say pastor, and it's kind of back here in their throat. And so now as I walk across campus, the children always sing, hello, Pastor Smith. I love it. I love it. In conjunction with the Highlands Camp there in Morogoro, 10 hours south of us, our church in Arusha sponsors high school sports camps 4 times a year. We have a wonderful relationship with 13 to 15 high schools in the area of Arusha. We're able to take 500 kids at a time, 4 times per year, so 2,000 kids. Statistically, 20 to 40% of them do accept Christ as their Savior. We've had as many as 70 accept Christ in one camp, and as many as 300 this past August coming forward at the invitation time. Again, Abraham Stanislaus, my associate pastor, he's like a Pied Piper when it comes to young people. The hand of God is upon him when he preaches the gospel. And let me just say to you, amen, for that guy and preaching the Word of God. You say, hey, missionary, Are you bragging? And the answer is yes. Bragging on the Lord Jesus Christ. Bragging on him and his grace and his mercy towards us. The Bible tells us in Luke 17:10 that we are all but unworthy servants, and we have done that which is our duty to do. So to God be the glory. Great things he has done. This is the fruit of the land, and it is.
Good.
It is.
Good.
The fruit of the land of Tanzania and mission fields around the world. Someone asked me one day, they said, "Hey, what's the greatest miracle that you've seen in Tanzania?" I didn't really know what he was after with a question like that, but I answered him this way. I told him about how that one day I was witnessing to a Muslim man, and as I witnessed to him and that man asked questions, in my head, I didn't feel like I was strategically on target. I didn't feel as if my words were adequate. I knew in my heart that what I was saying was not enough. My words were not convincing enough. I felt as if the episode was doomed to failure. But as we continued in the conversation, and I continued to quote the scriptures to him, amazingly, the man turned to me and he said, "You're right. I need to accept Christ and to be forgiven of my sins." And skeptical, I didn't give him the words to say in the salvation prayer. Sometimes we do that, you know, helping people as we lead them to Christ, and it's okay. But that time I said, "No, here's what you need to say. This is what should be in the prayer." He said, "Okay." And then he prayed a wonderful prayer accepting Christ as a Savior. What was the miracle? The miracle was seeing that the Word of God spoken to someone, and the Holy Spirit of God was able to change the heart and the thinking of that man right before my very eyes. Remember, already I said I didn't think I was doing enough. Yet the Word of God and the Holy Spirit did their work, and that man got saved. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
This is the fruit of the land, my friends, and it is.
Good.
I want to tell you this as well. The fruit of the land is wonderful. It's luscious. It's contentment. It's filling. It is fulfilling. All we have to do is to present ourselves as obedient servants to the plan of God and then go and get the fruit of the land, for it is good. Now, what is the plan of God for us? One of the many plans that he has for us, we see in the scripture. And it says that we are to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Jesus said these words. He didn't say them haphazardly. He has a plan. And the plan is for members like you of local churches like this to sacrificially give and to pray, and to be faithful to go in your own Jerusalem, like Pastor Nathan was talking about, but also to consider going to the foreign fields of the world. You see, even though we're rejoicing with the harvest at this time period, just like a farmer has to think ahead, he has to think about next year's plowing, next year's planting, next year's farming, his eventual reaping. We too must be diligent to plan for the near and the far future. We must be able to plan and to strategize so that in the future, once again, we may rejoice in the harvest, rejoice in the fruit of the land. You see, when we trust and obey, the fruit of the land is wonderful. Here it is, and it is. Rejoice with me today, because when the word of God is preached, we have something to tell you. Now, even though there are good things, sometimes we find out that there's some bad things. And what I mean by that is there are those who would be negative. That's our second point this morning. There are naysayers, always naysayers. Look at chapter 13, if you would, and verses 28 to 30 to begin with and then beyond. 28. However, the people who dwell in the land are strong, and the cities are fortified and very large. And besides, we saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the Negev. The Hittites, the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the hill country. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea and along the Jordan. But Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and occupy it, for we are well able to overcome it." Then the men who had gone up with him said, listen to what they said. They said, "We're not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we are." Big babies. 32. So they brought to the people of Israel a bad report of the land that they had spied out, saying, "The land through which we have gone to spy it out is a land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people that we saw in it are of great height. And there we saw the Nephilim, the sons of Anak, who come from the Nephilim. And we seemed to ourselves like grasshoppers, and so we seemed to them." Here's the problem, folks. Naysayers themselves lost time and blessing personally. They could have gone right into the land right then. But instead, they decided that they were happy to wander for 40 years in the wilderness. They weren't able to see the promised land again or to taste of the luscious fruit over there. The other point is that naysayers can cost others time and blessing. Joshua and Caleb had to hang with those guys for 40 years. Thankfully, they had a good long life. God blessed them. They were able to take part of the fruit of the promised land together with their people. Negative vibes are not good for anyone. Some would declare, "I'm not negative, I'm just a realist." My friends, of course, there is wisdom in planning your moves. There are plans to be made, strategies to be formed. But when God has already said to do it, when God has already said, "Go in and take the land," the only thing left to do is to obey. And so I challenge you today, at least wrestle with the possibility of being one who will not only carry the gospel in your locale, but perhaps God would use you on a foreign country, on a foreign field, in a foreign country. And if you by chance feel that God is telling you to personally go, then know that there are plans to be made and strategies to be formed. You need to talk to your pastor. He'll put you on the right track. Here's the thing. If you have a tendency towards negativity, naysaying, an attitude of "it can't be done," let me just tell you that this plan of God that we're talking about, it's not new. It's been done for many years. In fact, churches partnering with missionaries for the sake of foreign missions is something that has been very successful in the plan of God. Church members like you praying, giving sacrificially to the church and to the missions program. By the way, Mary and I still believe in that ourselves. Even though we are goers, we still are senders. Through our church in Tanzania, we are helping to send out missionaries. But more importantly, we still send a sacrificial missions offering back to our sending church in Pasadena, Texas, so that we too can have a part in the fruit of other lands. When other missionaries come and give their reports, we want to rejoice with them. We want to say, "This is the fruit of the land." And it is. Don't leave me hanging, folks. It is outstanding. I'm not standing in front of you as someone who is selling a new product, saying, "Let's try this and maybe it will work." No, I'm standing in front of you as one who can testify that God's plan indeed works. When God's people surrender and give to missions, and some go supported by those offerings, and when the gospel is preached, there will be fruit. Isaiah 55:11 says, "God's word will not return unto him void or empty." My friends, just as there were naysayers in Joshua's time, there are naysayers and negative people in this day and age as well. "We can't do it. The job is too big for us. There are giants in the land. We can't win those tribal people to Christ. We can't win those Muslim people to Christ. The job is too hard." Please let me testify to you today. In August, just a few months ago, at the very church area where the Heritage Teens will go in July, we were having a preaching and teaching program at this church. An unusual thing happened. When I gave the invitation, 3 Maasai men came forward to accept Christ. One about 70 years old, the other one about 40 years old, and the last one about 15 years old. Someone saved from every generation in that village. My friends, we can win tribal people to Christ. No one said it would be easy, but God has promised to give the increase. This is the fruit, and it is. Others may say, "Oh, we can't win Muslim people to Christ." Oh, yeah? It's like a challenge of a kid, right? Oh, yeah? Well, tell Aisha, Aisha is a Muslim woman who was drawn to our church by the extreme family life, sports life, the care that's there. She heard the gospel, accepted Christ, got baptized. Obviously, there's a lot of details in that story. I'm just giving you the Cliff Notes version, right? But she was baptized, and over some months, she drew her husband, Ibrahimu, a Muslim man. He got saved, baptized. They joined our church. Today, Ibrahimu is only a few credits shy of graduating from the Bible Institute program, and he occasionally preaches the word of God at our church. Amen. We have men and women at our church whose names reflect another faith, but they have accepted Jesus Christ as Savior. Rashidi, Tizi, Edi, all Muslim names whose owners now belong to our Savior Jesus Christ. Oh, my friends, this is the fruit of the land, and it is
good.
My friends, I want to trumpet this statement to you. Nothing is too hard for God. Amen?
Amen?
Let me say from our perspective, the work of the Lord is indeed work, but so is farming and agriculture. The good news is, at the end of the day, you get to enjoy the fruit of your labors. And by the way, even though we work hard at what we do, we must trust in the Lord all along the way, for it is His work, it is His harvest field. He is the one who enables. Faithful perseverance in the will of God will produce fruit. Just as farmland is different, some rocky soil, some sandy, some rich farmland, some not so rich, so the mission fields of the world are different too. We understand that. We get it. The yield, some fields yield great amounts of fruit, while others take long periods of time to produce even a little. That's okay. It's not about what we can produce. It's about what God will produce through your obedient labor. It's about God giving the increase. Our part is a part of playing a faithful role, seeking to be like Jesus in our lives, a role of faithful longevity, a role of staying by the stuff, a role of keeping on. You know, keeping on, keep on keeping on. That's what I meant to say. Patrick Mgaya is a Tanzanian man who got saved through our ministry in Morogoro, 10 hours south of where we presently live. That was 20 years ago. When I baptized him, I had no idea what was in store for him. Yet he got involved in the Bible Institute. He has been and continues to be an aggressive soul winner, witnessing to people, preaching to people. Now listen to this list just briefly. 20 years ago, a Tanzanian man led to Christ. In 1997, he started the Bible Baptist Church of Kidudwe. In 2003, after having trained a young Timothy and brought him along, Patrick left that church in the hands of the young Timothy, and he started another church called the Bible Baptist Church of Madizini. In 2007, he started the Bible Baptist Church of Masimba. In 2010, he started the Bible Baptist Church of Maloa, which is where we're going to be building in July with the Heritage Teen Group. In 2015, he started the Bible Baptist Church of Mkinga. In 20 years, he started 5 village churches, all doing well, all doing what God has called us to do because they too are preaching and teaching. In 20 years, Patrick has been a tent maker, a pastor, made his own living through thick and through thin. He has kept on keeping on. For me, this son in the ministry is bearing spiritual fruit of his own. It's like having kids and grandkids. What a joy! I love talking about my grandkids, by the way. As I said earlier, I love my son, I love my daughter, I love our in-laws, but grandkids are better. Sorry, no offense. This is the fruit of the land, my friends, and it is.
Good.
Now let's go to the last point this morning. Because the fruit of the land is good, don't be afraid to do God's will. Look at chapter 14 and verses 1 to 5. Chapter 14 in Numbers. Let's read 1 to 5 and beyond. Then all the congregation raised a loud cry, and the people wept that night. And all the people of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The whole congregation said to them, "Would that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would that we had died in this wilderness. Why is the Lord bringing us into this land to fall by the sword? Our wives and our little ones will become a prey. Would it not be better for us to go back to Egypt?" And they said to one another, "Let us choose a leader and go back to Egypt." Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the people of Israel. And Joshua the son of Nun, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes and said to all the congregation of the people of Israel, "The land which we passed through to spy it out is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord delights in us, he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land that flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, and do not fear the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their protection is removed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them." I love to hear a man's man challenge people about not being afraid. In Joshua chapter 1, verse 9, listen, he said this, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Amen? Amen. If you are a believer in Christ today and you've not been involved in missions giving, missions praying, missions going, let me challenge you this morning as you were challenged a few weeks ago. Get involved. Like Joshua told the Israelites, do not be afraid. You see, when we are afraid to obey God's will and direction, it means that we've not really fully understood who God is. I want to remind you this morning that God is indeed the one who loves you and who loves me and who loves the whole world. And that's why we can go to foreign fields and preach the Romans road of salvation and talk to people about getting their sins forgiven as they accept Christ as their Savior. We can preach John 3:16, which has been quoted so many times, and you know the wonderful message that it holds. In Swahili, it goes like this. Kwa maana jinsi hii Mungu aliupenda ulimwengu hata akamtoa mwanawe pekee ili kila mtu amwaminie asipotee bali awe na uzima wa milele. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. We're talking about the fact that God sent Jesus Christ down from his heavenly glory to be born of a virgin, to live a sinless life, to preach and teach the principles of the kingdom of heaven. Then Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was abducted and brutally treated. He was bruised for our iniquities, beaten, mocked, scourged, ridiculed, the Bible says. He was given a crown of thorns. He was crucified on that cross. We need in our faith to remind ourselves daily that Jesus died, that he was buried, but then again after 3 days, he rose again from the dead, proving his power over sin and death and the grave. Hallelujah and amen.
Amen.
That's our faith. We serve a great and loving God. He has given us much fruit. He's given you much fruit. He wants to give more. This is the fruit of the land, and it is good. We do serve a loving and a great God. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? Bow your heads. It would be tragic for us to talk about taking the gospel to foreign lands, for us to talk about others getting saved, and then, lo and behold, right here in this church building today, there's someone who needs Christ. Why don't you accept him today? Why don't you join the multitudes of people who know Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior? To those of you who have already been a part of this for a while, you've been giving to missions, you've been praying, please consider how you might continue to sacrificially give and pray for the cause of missions around the world. We need rope holders, torch bearers, workers for Christ on this side of the water, and we need workers on that side of the water too. Would you wrestle with the possibility of being one who will go to a foreign land as an ambassador for Christ? My friends, this is the fruit of the land, and it is good. Now, let's go and get some more.
With every head bowed and every eye closed, right where you're at, will you wrestle with these questions? Where do you stand before God? Do you know that if you were to die today, that you would stand in his presence unashamed? Do you have an advocate who will stand on your behalf and proclaim that he is your substitute? Now is the hour of salvation. Not tomorrow, not next week. We're not guaranteed any of those. The simple truth is this, is that to enter eternity without Christ as your advocate is to embrace a just condemnation in an eternal hell. But God so loved the world that he gave his son for you. If you do not know him, please come talk to me after the service. Let me show you from God's word how you can know for certain of your standing before God. Christian, are you a kingdom citizen? This is the basic question. Are you ready, willing, and able to go into the land and claim the fruit? All of the people of Israel went into the land. All of us are meant to go into the land. All of us are meant to be bearers of the name of Christ. What are you doing? How are you living right now in your job, in your family? Would you be willing to take your job and take that job opening in Saudi or in India or in Indonesia and use your job as a vehicle to go be salt and light? Would you be willing to give up everything perhaps and go as a full-time vocational minister? If there is anywhere where you can be a greater impact in the kingdom than here, then you should be all about getting to that place. But if here is where you believe God would have you, then be salt and light where you're at. Give everything where you're at. Oh God, the fruit of the land, your promises indeed are good. And it's not just naysaying. Ultimately, it's disobedience and refusing to trust that you said you would be with us wherever we went. Oh God, give us the courage, give us the trust to see you for who you are in the midst of our doubts and our frailties, to walk, even though we don't see all ends and where the path leads, that we would trust in your presence. And that we would stand before your throne one day with a great harvest by your grace because we were faithful. We lay our lives down, O God. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you stand with me this morning as we conclude our service? And one more time, the fruit of the land is indeed
good.
And all God's people said,
amen.
Have a blessed afternoon.